Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Bing, ba, bing, bong, bing, bong. It's suggestible time.
Certainly is. It's the only time of the week when it is suggestible time, unless you listen to multiple episodes, in which case that's great.
Good for you. It's Suggestible, the podcast where we recommend you things to watch, read and listen to. My name is Claire Tonti. James Clement is here also. We are married and we recommend you things like, for example, my show that was over on the weekend.
How can you recommend something that's already been and gone?
Well, I'm just letting people know that I would have recommended it last week, and sucks for you if you didn't come because it was awesome.
It was pretty good. Listen, I've never had a standing ovation, to my knowledge. Have I? Probably not. I don't know. Maybe every week people stand up after my podcast and they go, he's done it again. Just James, not Mason. Done it again. How does he do it? I don't know.
Who knows? How do I do it? It's hard to tell.
But yeah, it went really, really well. And so many people came out, and people who listen to this show and people who listen to my show, who I really appreciate as well. Because let's be honest, maybe Matrescence might not specifically be for you, but it really meant a lot coming out. And people seem to get a lot out of it. But they're not the only people who came, obviously.
No, and thank you so much to my Thursday Therapy girls as well, who I forgot to mention at the end of the show because I got really overwhelmed.
Disgraceful.
And left my thank you notes in the green room. And so I wanted to just say a special shout out to them because they're bloody awesome and saw me through so many of those early motherhood days. Mm-hmm. I have to say that I'm so grateful to you because I would never have been able to do that show and write
without my
album.
Wicked guitar solo I did in
Correct.
The middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. No, just without all of the things. Because people ask me today, how did I do it? How did you manage to do it?
I said, Claire, how are you so brilliant? What's the secret to tapping into that creative spirit? And what did you say to them?
I said, my wonderful, very gorgeous husband, James.
What was That's the real reason? Said. It's probably a different thing, but sure.
Also, no, I don't know, because I loved it. It's the first thing I've ever really, really, really thrown myself into and put everything at it. And I just, yeah, I just feel super grateful for everyone that was there. And also, it's not lost on me as well how important it is to honour that transition of motherhood that we call Matrescence, and that it deserves to have not just one album but thousands of albums and books and poems and art made about it, because it is just a greater love story and a transition as any that happens to a human being. And I was reminded again of the depth of complexity and joy and also trauma and difficulty that women experience through that transition. And I was really honoured by some of the stories that were shared with me afterwards about the shame that can happen around breastfeeding, about the fragility of those emotions around those really early days of motherhood and how discombobulating it is. And I know you saw me through so many of that, of that time. So also, how weird was it to sing? I sang Dancing Till Three and I realised I wrote it about us, but I never actually sung it with you in the room.
I'd heard it, but you hadn't sung it directly to me in a room full of like 200 people.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just really special, and I was really like, I hadn't forgotten that that was going to happen. And then you got teary and I got teary. It was a whole thing. Anyway, thank you to everyone that came. If you would like to listen, the album's out on Spotify. You can also head to my website, and there are vinyls and t-shirts and a few things if you'd like to support the show. And thank you to every single person that came. And thank you also to a wonderful listener, David, who came and then did a cover of Pints, one of my songs.
Yeah.
On Instagram. And he's got such a beautiful voice.
Better voice than you?
Yeah, well, maybe. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely an awesome.
Let's say
awesome.
Different. Different. But better. Yeah.
Correct. Anyway, enough of that, me going on and on about this thing that I've done that James has had to listen to.
Well, you've got
for,
more things coming
forever.
Up so people could keep their ears and eyes peeled.
I do. I have a show on
Events
the 9th
and
of March.
Festivals and various
Correct,
things.
Lots of things. But, yeah, the next one will be a very low-key little pub gig out the Luli Tavern on the 9th of March. So.
And it's free?
It's a free entry one, yeah. So you can come. I think they have like $1 chicken wings or something.
Oh, my God. Wait, is that $1 a wing or is it $1 a basket?
That is such a good, I reckon it must be $1 a wing. Wouldn't you think?
You'd think so, yeah.
You'd think so. So is maybe that good, that's actually not that
is
cheap.
Is that good value?
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Because you could get the old bachelor's handbag, the roast chicken from Coles.
Is that what it's called?
For like $3 and eat it at home over the sink.
The bachelor's handbag.
Yeah, bachelor's handbag.
That's a perfect name for that.
It is. Mason told me that. He didn't come up with it. I'm pretty confident.
No, but that's because he's a bachelor.
He that's true. And he correct. Loves a bachelor's handbag.
He does. He loves all kinds maybe of he's fried not. Foods.
Maybe he's dating all sorts of famous people.
Maybe he is and we just never it's a know. Mystery. Our son asked him that the other day. He's like, Mason, what's your secrets?
Tell me your secrets.
Tell them to me.
I told him next time I'm asking him to pull a knife on him. And he'll have good to tell plan. You the secrets.
Correct.
All right, here's my first recommendation.
Off he flies.
It's called Kunk on Earth. Now, this character of Philomena Kunk, who's played by Diane Morgan, was created by Charlie Brooker, who you might know was one of the minds, the key minds behind Black Mirror.
Mm.
You know, on Black Mirror, they're always like, my phone's got a person in it or whatever, you know? You've seen that episode. So this was a character that used to appear on Charlie Brooker's Wipe series. He used to do like recap series of like particular events or the year. He'd be like, here's the year that just happened and here's all the terrible things that occurred. I think you've seen bits and pieces of them before. I think they're amazing. Anyway, so here's the synopsis. Philomena Kunk, who's played by Diane Morgan, travels the world, interviews real-world experts. So it's about everything. It's about how the world was created, the universes, the pyramids were built, all of these different things. And she's just this absolutely fucking absurd person, like, in the real world. Despite her, like, saying some of the silliest stuff and funniest stuff that you would ever hear, it's really quite informative, like despite that kind of, you know, those two things kind of playing against each other. And it's so obviously wrong when she is joking or, you know, it's a nonsense kind of thing happens that it's not going to teach you something incorrect. You know, you're not going to come out of it and parrot some information that's clearly not, you know, true, if that makes sense, unless you're a massive, massive idiot. I just want to, I'm going to show you the introduction because I feel like people can hear it. This is the introduction to it on Netflix. I'm just going to show you just now, Claire, to see if this is your vibe, all right?
All right.
Listen up. Thank you, Collins. Here's the thing. I won't play much of it.
Okay.
You can hear that?
This is the Kunk Show.
Yep.
Here we go.
This is our planet, planet Earth.
Love this.
It's a planet I'm literally on right now. And unless you're watching this on a long-haul flight or while falling off a building, chances are you are too. This is the incredible story of how humankind transformed our world from being a load of pointless nature like this to full of modern things like this and how it did it using nothing more than its hands and its imagination and also tools and electricity and the internet. It's a journey that'll take me to every corner of the globe money and pandemic travel restrictions would allow. Getting up close to some of our species' most stunning achievements. And I'll be asking questions.
Who are you?
To leading academics, clever noughts and expertists who'll help me unlock the mystery of human civilization.
Why do they say it's a mystery how the pyramids were built when it's obviously just big bricks in a triangle?
This is not just
that.
The story of the planet.
As soon as it started, I'm like, yeah,
this is
love
the story
this
of the world
fan.
We live on.
Yeah.
I thought it's incredible. I haven't even finished it. It's 5 episodes, but she's so funny, and just the way that she like talks to experts, and they just kind of go along with her. There's one point where she's talking to that woman about the pyramids, and she's like, I can't even remember the specifics of it, but she basically asks whether they start the pyramids from the bottom or the top. And they just.
But really, now I'm just thinking, do they though? Like, how did?
How
they
would you start from the top? What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, good point. I thought maybe they'd start with tiny bricks and then they'd like slot a little bit.
Like go up from like a make a pillar in
yeah,
the middle.
Yeah, so start with the smallest brick and then put a littlest brick under and then another.
But that's
bigger,
starting
bigger,
from the
bigger,
bottom
bigger,
still,
bigger,
isn't
bigger.
It?
No, but you're starting from the top brick.
No. No, that's no? wrong.
That's wrong.
Anyway, I cannot stress like how funny and quick Diane Morgan is because a lot of the time obviously – like a lot of this is written. It's got like 8 writers on
yeah.
it. Yeah. But – when she's in the moment, like in the interviews, you know, you see that, and there's also no doubt clever editing.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
see how like the way that she reacts to people completely unfazed, just like someone will say something to her and she'll just say like the dumbest thing or that like, or it's something that's really like pointed and mean, but not like, seemingly not intentionally. It's, yeah. it's that fine line of like you'd have to be super intelligent to say something that stupid. Does that and that funny? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's kind of hard. It's just a really great balance.
Yeah, she's always mentioned. Brilliant. Yeah, I she's love great. Her.
It's also got some like beautiful cinematography. Like it's shot like a
it's shot like Planet Earth a big blockbuster whatever. David Attenborough style.
Yeah, it
and
totally
also
is.
Makes some very salient points, I would say.
I agree.
Exactly.
It debuted on the BBC last year, but all five episodes, thank you, are now on the Netflix, if you
the
are
Netflix-er,
interested.
The old FlixiNet. Why didn't they call it FlixiNet?
Because that's a bad name.
Where are you going?
All the dogs are up to secret dog business.
They would be, usually. They're very troublesome, those dogs. Yeah. One of them woke up last night and couldn't sleep. Had to come onto my bed. Zippy. The annoying one.
Yeah.
And then all night, like, I'd be asleep and suddenly she'd be like, and I was awake again. That cheeky dog. Yeah, is that her?
Hello.
Careful. Don't chew any cord, Zippy. All right. Yeah, that looks awesome. Okay, so on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Five episodes, you say?
Five episodes.
Great.
Jolly Brooker, do some more yearly wipes as well. I think he's doing Black Mirror again though. Because when everything went bad, well everything is bad.
Yes,
but he was like, I'm gonna stop making Black Mirror.
Because it's way too close to reality.
It's depressing. Oh, but now he's making more Black Mirror.
Exactly. That was like Years and Years, which was excellent with Emma Thompson.
Good,
but also way too close to reality.
That's Stephen Moffat. He's gone back to Doctor Who.
Oh, I love a Doctor Who.
David Tennant's back.
I love David Tennant. Yeah. He's my favorite Doctor Who, obviously. He's everyone's favorite, right?
Not everybody.
Isn't he?
Some people
He's the most
like...
handsome one.
Maybe.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, James, is it my turn now?
So you're holding a book of some description.
I am. It's a beautiful book. This one?
Because it's hardcover? Is there another reason?
Just because it's hardcover, that's it. So this book is by an author called Brené Brown. I know a lot of people have talked about wonderful. I have talked about Brené Brown a lot on this podcast. And The Gifts of Imperfection I used a lot during my album writing.
Mm.
It's just about letting go of perfectionism and actually how that can really hold us back.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Atlas of the Heart is her new book. It came out a while ago. I wanted to recommend it. I think it's a really beautiful gift as well. It's a really beautiful looking book too.
It is, yeah.
What she's done, it's called Atlas of the Heart, Mapping Meaningful Connection in the Language of Human Experience. And what I find so interesting is that she's actually taken 87 of the emotions and experiences that define what it means to be human and maps them in a framework for connection.
Oh, you're telling me about this. How do you pick 87?
Well, she's done a huge amount of research.
Right.
So she's a sociologist, I guess would be.
She like, hungry.
And a researcher.
And writes it down. Hungry in emotion?
That is exactly how she does it.
I knew it.
No, she goes out and studies human behavior. They do surveys. They talk to experts. She does a huge amount of reading to kind of break down in terms of like psychology as well, what human emotions actually are. And I think what's powerful about this book is that I think we often think of emotions as just, you know, happy, sad, maybe angry,
confused,
you know, jealousy, hungry. Like some of those patterns, but there's so many.
Yeah.
And then the shades of those then give you an idea of how to connect better to other people, which I know is so far up my alley, all of this stuff, right? I mean, I know this isn't for everyone, but I bloody love emotions. I don't know a lot of things necessarily, but I know emotions. I know them. If you've got one, I'm like an emotional sniffer dog.
Like you recognize them?
Correct.
In other people, in yourself, in...
Yeah, in myself, in other people, everywhere. And there's shades that I almost see them like colors.
Yeah.
I can sense them in people. And you can feel multiple emotions about something. And I think what is interesting about this too is that she's talked about how people see researching emotions as being like a soft skill. We talk about soft skills or like soft research.
It's not like...
Like it's airy-fairy or fluffy
not like
or something.
Accounting or looking at a science beaker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You are now that it's all about the science beakers. I feel like I was prepared in high school to use beakers a lot.
As I was first looking at beakers, I'm like, I'm never going to need this. I'm never going to look at a beaker.
Yeah, and I can safely say they did not play a big role in my life. I'm sure there are people out there that they play a very big role for.
That's true, like the Muppet beaker.
This is correct, exactly. Or possibly my brother who studies rocks in Norway.
Whatever.
Anyway, but going back to emotions, what I think is really interesting is then being able to unpack in context and actually articulating them is really difficult.
Yes.
And people who study a lot of other fields in science, actually having to articulate your emotions can be actually some of the most difficult things you can ever do. But they in the end actually lead to, as Brené talks about, more meaningful connection and a happier, more contented life once you can articulate them. That makes total sense when
you know like what's happening to you or others and you can communicate that or at the very least understand it. Yeah,
exactly. And understand.
Otherwise you're just like, why am I? It's like when you see kids and they're angry and they don't know why they're angry. They're probably hungry. But like, you know.
Yeah.
It's really important to be able to pinpoint that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise you then end up like bursting out at someone, which you can see adult people doing all the time.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's not
and
just
having
kids,
like
yeah.
unconscious behaviors.
Yes.
And not understanding the root cause, which is, I think, really interesting. So, for example, she's broken them into chapters, and this one is places we go when we fall short.
Okay.
So, when we feel like we're not doing as well as we should be, we feel emotions like shame, self compassion, perfectionism, guilt, humiliation,
karate.
And embarrassment.
Oh. Yep.
Anyway, so all of those things. So she kind of breaks it down for you.
Yeah, cool.
And I think another really interesting one she talks about is something called comparative suffering,
which is
I think, really interesting. So let me give you a little read. So empathy is not finite and compassion is not a pizza with 8 slices. When you practice empathy and compassion with someone, there is not less of these qualities to go around, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. It's not finite.
Yeah, so there's actually more. Love is the last thing we need to ration in this world. But fear and scarcity trigger comparison, and even pain and hurt are not immune to being assessed and ranked. Because COVID unleashed such massive fear and anxiety, we saw comparative suffering everywhere. For example, my husband died, and that grief is worse than your grief over missing your daughter's wedding. I'm not allowed to talk about how disappointed I am about my job changing because my friend just found out that his wife has COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're worried about your teenager becoming disconnected and isolated during quarantine when thousands of people in India are dying.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's those two things.
I know that's something that you often talk about whenever you're like, this thing happened and it's bad, but then you're like, but I also know that I have a nice life.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but you're allowed to be sad.
Yeah, exactly. And
about a thing.
Yeah,
it's all relative
as
well.
Yeah, because we're just comparing our suffering rather than just understanding that our suffering is our suffering.
Yeah.
So as Brené says, what we fail to understand is that the family in India doesn't benefit more if you conserve your concern only for them and withhold it from your child who is also suffering.
Right, okay.
So, yes, perspective is critical, but I'm a firm believer that sharing how we feel, even complaining, is okay as long as we piss and moan with a little perspective. Hurt is hurt, and every time we honour our own struggle and the struggles of others by responding with empathy and compassion, the healing that results affects all of us. So really, I just love that because I think we are all conscious, as you said, of that all the time.
Yeah.
That people always have it worse off. And actually,
I mean, it's true because everybody, you could say that for literally every person.
And when you think about what's happening in Syria and Turkey, in like so many places in the world, this is absolutely true. But just feeling kind of guilty for feeling bad about your own pain doesn't make anything better for anyone else.
No, exactly.
And so moving,
or you,
exactly. So moving through with more empathy and compassion for everyone all around, whatever situation you're in, I just love. So that's one pearl of wisdom. There's bloody thousands of them in this book.
Would also mean that like there is one person on the planet who was the most miserable and downtrodden. Like if it was ranked, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's always
yeah.
somebody less well off.
Totally.
There is somebody who's like the least well off.
Wowza.
Mm.
Big call.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. And the reverse is true.
Yeah, it's probably Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Guy's got it rough. You know?
Exactly. Do you know what's interesting about that too though? Because it's all so complex, all this stuff, isn't it?
Mm.
Because you can have not a lot but be much happier or more content because of your outlook on life than someone who says Elon Musk, who I think secretly seems miserable?
I don't think it's a secret, but yeah, totally. I think also like money like helps a lot and alleviates a lot of problems.
Yes, I totally.
But it does also hit a point where you don't get happier. Like you acquire more and it doesn't make you happier. Like it's diminishing returns until it's just like, well, I've got so much and I can do literally anything, but it's like, you know, but I'm not happy. What's wrong?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And as Brené would say, it's the quality of our relationships that end up determining our happiness really and our contentedness and the way we enjoy our life often.
That's true.
A lot of it is to do
and whether you can do a flip. Because that's rad.
That's rad as well. And just more empathy and compassion.
Yeah.
So I think that is like empathy and compassion to ourselves, empathy and compassion to other people. It's not a finite thing. I love that. It's not like, oh, if I feel some empathy for you, I can't feel empathy for you. No. You can feel empathy for empathy.
You can do a big empathy.
Can't say that word today. Big empathy.
You can do a big empathy.
You can. Anyway, this book is called Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown, and it is stunning and you can jump in and out of it. It's like almost like a textbook for emotions. So if you're going through something in particular.
I'm not, but go on.
Or you have a child that is.
No, not me, but go on.
You know, like she talks about hope, hopelessness and despair and what they actually mean and how we can identify that. Like just it's amazing and really helpful. So it gives language around things that we might not even really understand ourselves. And I love it. So, yes. Excellent.
Cool. I've got a bit of a recommendation here, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
It's in relation to this thing that I'm bringing up now. It's in front of me, I mean. It's called 7 Days in Hell and it's directed by Jake Szymanski and written by Murray Miller. And it stars Andy Samberg, who, as you might know, he's from Lonely Island and he's also in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's like the main cop in that. He's like, well, I love Die Hard or whatever. And also stars Kit Harington, who you might know as Jonathan Snow.
Jon Snow.
It also features
That guy.
No, do you?
Yeah, he's...
Cool.
Unexpectedly short, but I do love him.
That's nothing wrong with that, Claire. That's normal to be unexpectedly short. Serena, it also stars, features Serena Williams, John McEnroe, Will Forte, David Copperfield. That's right. The author.
Oh, David Copperfield, the musician. What can I talk tonight?
So here's,
magician.
Here's the synopsis. Tennis champions Aaron Williams, Andy Samberg, and Charles Poole, Kit Harington, have an epic tennis match that lasts for 7 days. So it's a mockumentary starring these two guys about this tennis match that keeps, like, getting delayed or also, like, they keep getting to match point and then it goes back and it goes for 7 days, right? It happened in, like, the early 2000s, apparently. So one's, like, this burnout kind of wild card, which is the Andy Samberg character, and the other one is, like, this dull British golden boy who's kind of, like, pompous and stupid. And it's just this absurdist and fictional Wimbledon match that it's just, it's very silly and a little bit rude and very funny. And it lampoons like various sporting documentaries and tennis tropes and, you know, and British and tennis traditions and all of these kinds of things. But it's a lot of fun. It's from like 2015 and I'd been meaning to watch it for a while. A friend of mine, Joe, mentioned it like ages ago. I was like, you should watch this thing. And then we're on holiday earlier in this year. I don't know if you remember, I was watching it and I'm like, this is quite good. The other thing about it is it's like 45 minutes long. So it's, you don't have to commit like a whole bunch of time to it. But it's fun. I'm not a big tennis fan. Like, I like it enough. But I found it was really fun and silly and funny and stupid and a little bit of drug use as well. But it's just pretend.
Well, I know all about that, apparently.
That's true.
Apparently, that's me. I know things.
That's you big time. but what have you got to recommend, or is that the last recommend?
No, I've got one last thing to recommend. It's really special, actually. So, okay, so one of the women in our community, Kim Veal, is a women's physio, and she's worked with a lot of the women in our community. I worked with her back when our son was born, and then I also in preparation for my daughter's birth and after her birth as well. So Kim sees women in all kinds of different stages of pregnancy, post-pregnancy, and she deals with incontinence and all kinds of issues that affect women.
Yep.
But she sees women in really vulnerable situations. And I interviewed her for Tons, and I had a lot of feedback about that episode. I asked her to read out a blog that she wrote a long time ago when she was first a new mum.
Okay.
That she read it on the show and it was so moving. Anyway, we caught up for coffee and she was sharing with me that she had more pieces that she'd written years ago about her journey through motherhood. And one in particular really spoke to her that had a similar content to the song This Mother Thing that I wrote. Anyway, so she sent it to me and then I just sat at the kitchen table bawling my eyes out at this beautiful poem. Mm. And so I'm going to read a poem, James. Can you handle it?
Oh, my God, I knew this was coming. Look, I know Kim, I've met her, so I'm going to let this one slide.
All right, thank goodness. Okay, so this one is called When Did She Become Apart From Me? A Mother's Ode. And warning, this is it's beautiful. But
it's beautiful. Okay.
There's some lots of emotions. So maybe if you're at work or something, maybe save this. Anyway, here we go. She came from my being. Started as a seed, always there, never apart. Her number was chosen, she won and thrived. My bread was her bread, my lungs her air. She was me, there was no divide. My rhythm was her lullaby. We became an alien, a two-headed, strong, willed force of nature. She came with a purpose, perfect from the start. She breathed her own oxygen and her blood pumped red. I didn't think twice when they cut her physical bond to me. It didn't even bleed a tear. We smiled. Why didn't I mourn that more? She did not recognize herself, rather knew herself only in relation to me. Without my body, my scent, my sounds, she was lost. My milk sustained and nourished her. She grew fat on it. She was physically completely a product of my body. I was her world. It came with responsibilities, some of which were terrifically physically emotionally challenging, others that were utter gluttony in their delight, and all she wanted was me. We were so wrapped in each other. We may as well have been one and the same, and we were. She took food from a spoon and I mourned a little loss. Gone was the monopoly I had on her creation. She carried on the job of children, to grow and learn and become. Become a personality, an individual, an identity, a person. She found her voice, a beautiful husky utterance that I recognized as my own. We watched her stumble out her first steps and babble out her first words. Steps became skips and words became songs. She was blooming, and so was our love. And all this time, she had been observing, drinking in language, gestures, concepts, lapping up information and gathering opinions. Lots of them mine, but then, a word I do not say or a gesture that is foreign. There is a dart of panic, a loss of control, an extension of the cord. Now she is at school. Now the tables have turned. I am here for food, for clothes, for transport, for sleep. But there are many hours and many teachers and many friends shaping my baby. This walking, talking, running, jumping, skipping, thinking, writing, reading baby of my body. Then there are moments before dawn, a little tiptoe down the hall. There is a soft little voice and hand and she is curled in my body once again. Later, she will make her breakfast, dress herself and run with friends. But in this moment, rarer by the day, she has come home to rest. She is beautiful and she is mine. But when did she become apart from me? I will never know, and I will not hold her back. Though she may travel far and wide, she is my baby of my body, and always she will be.
Jesus, Claire. How old is her kid?
She's a teenager now.
Oh, my God.
I get really emotional.
That was really well written though. That's actually really incredible.
I know. It's a really beautiful poem. So yeah. I'll put a link to it below in the show notes, but it's by Kim Veal and it's from her blog and I'll just read the title out again, When She Become Apart From Me, A Mother's Ode.
Mm.
So Kim wrote that back in 2016.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and I think she captures really well and in some ways that I hadn't read about just that entity of a baby being completely part of you.
Yeah.
And then that slow kind of grief of them moving further and further away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bloody anyway, hell. It's a lot. Parenting is a lot. Anyway.
Claire, you need to get over it. That's what I think.
It's just, I think that the thing that I find so tricky is that they're so beautiful and funny and great and gorgeous, and they also drive you crazy, and it's hard and the slog.
Yeah.
So it's just this constant.
Sometimes they're eating dinner with you, the dinner that you made, and they're just slowly, subtly feeding the food to their dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Our dog, I should say
exactly,
specifically.
Which was our daughter tonight. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. So that was the end of the show, I guess.
I wish it was the end of the show, Claire. If only.
If only.
You can actually review the show. And after this, I've only got two reviews left. So if you've got any reviews to shoot
please,
the show.
Reviews.
Please, we'd love to hear it. This is from Derp480 who says, the 78th best podcast. I am a comic book fan, and for a while I was only watching comic book movies. This podcast, the 78th best one, has opened my eyes to lots of other genres and types of films. So for that I say, thank you for being the 78th best podcast. And that's good. 78th in the world? That's incredible. You know how many podcasts there are, Claire?
There's so a few. Many. That's not too bad.
There's at least 120.
Look at
so
us
that's,
go.
It's looking good for us.
It is looking good. All right. Well, also, if you want to write us in and tell us that we're your favorite 78th podcast,
I do.
You can. It's justforpod@gmail.com. Just like Tanner Moore has, Tanner. We've heard from you a few times. Claire.
What?
Tanner Moore. Congrats on doing a song. I really enjoyed the two singles, but haven't had time to listen to the album yet.
That's okay.
Though I'm very much looking forward to it. Thanks, Tanner. No pressure.
And just remember, if you don't like a song, just skip it.
That's true. You can do that. No, please, listen to the whole thing.
No, skip
it. Anyways, on to the important things. Previously, it has been established that time is relevant or whatever. So being that your performance was last week, I assume you have been doing nothing but reading the fantastic book that I recommended in October or November, Project Hail Mary.
Well. Chickens have come home to roost.
Can't wait to hear your review. I just stepped on a dog.
What? Is it ours?
She's under my chair. Can't wait to hear your review this week because obviously you've read it now that your songs and such are over.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great week and truly congrats on your music, Claire. You are amazing. P.S. Also, just for clarification, I don't think you would have read it yet, but this is more of a reminder of your previous promise, PBS. So James is cool and good at things too.
My understanding is that you did set like a 4-year like limit on that as well, didn't you? You picked
Project
a specific
Mary.
Date. That's
I did. It is. It is sitting on my Kindle, so you know, I've read the first weird page where the person wakes up in the alien room or something. I've read a bit. There's some weird penis issue, like a tube. In there.
That, I don't know. I think that was something I was saying to you. But listen, that's neither here nor there. No, there is a penis thing. Yes, that's
thank
right.
Thank you. Okay.
Early on.
Great. Excellent. So that's been the show. Thank you as always to Rob Collings for editing this week's episode.
How does he do it?
He's a wonder
kid. I think he uses a computer. He told me that he doesn't, but I suspect that he does.
I suspect too. Mm. I suspect he is a computer.
A what? I didn't know that.
His brain
a whole,
is very impressive.
Well, if he is a computer, then he wouldn't be using a computer because if he is a computer.
Oh, this is so
I'm
confusing.
Thirsty. But I'm waiting because I have to see Ant-Man and I'm going to see it tonight. But I'm like, if I drink a bunch of water, then I'm going to be an Ant-Man.
Is this why you're being grumpy? Because you love drinking heaps of water and you haven't had much
I'm
water?
I'm dehydrated. Maybe that's why.
That's why you're so grumpy.
What's the runtime on this? Ant-Man, the Quasimania.
You're really not going to drink anything. It's so hot today. It's so hot.
Oh, it's only 2 hours and 5 minutes. I could be dehydrated for that long.
Can you? I don't think you can.
I do need to drink really badly.
Yeah, is that why you're so grouchy?
Yeah, that's why, Claire. I'm always like this. I think if people listen to this, they're like, no, he's the same. He's the same as per usual.
Same grouch as usual.
Yeah.
All right, that's it from us. Thank you, as always, to Raw Callings and everyone for listening. We'll see you on the flip side.
Yeah, I probably, yep.
Probs.
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 No probs.
No probs.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.